Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Tremendous developments are occurring in Europe as we speak, but it seems like far too few people understand what is really happening over there. We are hearing comments about socialist Europe. We're hearing comments about the EU crisis. And it doesn't appear that people really comprehend what it all means. I have an article here in front of me, which was published in 1961. It was published in the Plain Truth magazine, which was at the time published by the Worldwide Church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong. And those of you who know us a little bit understand that we are in the traditions of the Worldwide Church of God under Mr. Armstrong, and that we are upholding the doctrines and the teachings of that church. And Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. Of course, when there are changes which have to be made based on biblical understanding, we will, of course, make those because we are to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But here I want to show you what was published and said in 1961 in a Plain Truth magazine. And, of course, here is the cover of this particular magazine. And the article which was published was entitled, Now, New Power Bloc Stronger Than Russia. It was written by Herbert Armstrong, and he says, For 27 years we have warned while others scoffed. Now the public press sees it coming. Well, they saw it coming to an extent. I think today we should be able to see what Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1961. Let me quote from this article to begin with. He wrote, The common market started merely at an economic cooperation between six nations in the general territory of the old Roman Empire. For 27 years, the plain truth has said that the ancient Roman Empire is in our time going to be resurrected. We have said, as the prophecies of the Bible say, that when this symbolic prophetic beast fully emerges from the bottomless pit, it will require the affiliation with the Roman Catholic Church. It is significant that it started as an economic cooperation with six nations. There is a certain biblical significance in numbers. Six is the number of man, usually as apart from and hostile to God. And then later on in the article, he goes on to say, Prophecy uses the symbol beast to identify the old Roman Empire and its medieval successor called the Holy Roman Empire. In turning to Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 3, he points out the following, talking about the woman riding the beast, saying, This woman is symbolically named Babylon. She is a mother church. She has daughter churches who may have come out of her in protest, calling themselves Protestants, but who will be forced to reunite. Her name Babylon identifies her as the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. The empire she is to rule is a direct succession from the Babylon of 600 BC. It was succeeded by the Persian Empire, and next by Alexander's Greco-Macedonian Empire, and it by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was restored by Justinian in 554. From then until 1814, the popes of Rome ruled the entire succession. Now it is once again to be revived to life. Then he talks about the then pope, Pope Pius, shortly before he died, publicly offered his good offices for the joining together of the nations of Europe. And subsequent popes have clearly been very influential in the unification of Europe, as we have it already today. Herbert Armstrong concludes his article as follows. At present, West Berlin is the key that could trigger the sudden emergence to life to the Roman Empire once again, probably called the United States of Europe this time. Notice he said Berlin, West Berlin at the time, is the key, is the leading mechanism which will bring about this unification. Let's keep that in mind in light of what I'm going to tell you in a few moments. He says 10 nations will join in a political, military, economic, religious empire. And when they do, you will know the second coming of Jesus Christ to set up supreme world government, to save mankind from itself, to restore peace and happiness is very near. For this European combine will not hold together. It will endure for a very short time, but it will be ended by the coming of the all-powerful Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, what of Britain? Now, mind you, this was written in 1961. He says, in all probability, they will not be part of the United States of Europe, but France probably will. Isn't it amazing that it is exactly happening the way he said? Now, how did he know that? We have been saying these things for decades. How did we know that? Is it because we are so smart? No. It is because we understand and believe the Bible. We believe God's words. We believe that what the Bible says is true. And what we have just heard is exactly what the Bible prophesies. Now, if you have any doubt about it, please read our free booklet on the book of Revelation. You can order a copy and you can read it also online. It will tell you exactly all the prophecies which will lead to this crescendo of a United States of Europe and finally the return of Jesus Christ. Now, in light of what I just said, I'd like to read to you from an article by the Financial Times dated January 30 of 2012, saying, victory for Merkel. 25 of the European Union's 27 countries have signed up to a German-inspired treaty enshrining tougher fiscal rules to help underpin the euro. The only two which have not signed up were Czechoslovakia and, you guessed it, Great Britain. Now, those 27 member states will ultimately be reduced to 10 core European member states, 10 nations or groups of nations. They will rule Europe, and they will in turn give their power and their authority to a very charismatic political leader called the Beast. The Wall Street Journal edits, leaders of 25 European Union governments agreed Monday night on what some billed as a historic pact to move to closer fiscal union, a historical pact. Who was the leader? Who is leading it? Who is the key, as we heard in the article, to all of this? Germany, Berlin. Here's an article by Der Spiegel Online, dated February 1, saying this. The EU summit on Monday was overshadowed by a new upsurge of fears of German domination, following reports over the weekend that Berlin was proposing dispatching an EU commissioner to Athens to seize control of the Greek budget. Who was proposing this? Berlin. It goes on to say that the center-right Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung wrote, Germany has the strongest economy by far in the EU. When Mr. Armstrong wrote this in 1961, there was no way from a human standpoint that he could have concluded that. But you see, the Bible has prophesied all along that it's going to be Germany, that it's going to be a German leader, or an Austrian leader for that matter, who is going to rule Europe. It says its leader's growing. It is also the most populous country, which isn't insignificant in democratic terms. So it shouldn't surprise anyone that the German government is making use of this clout that is legitimate. Now, they do warn, on the other hand, saying if Germany is to lead, as most partners want it to, or say they want it to, this leadership cannot simply consist of giving orders. The center-left Süddeutsche Zeitung wrote, Germany stands where it never wanted to stand again after 1945. As the dominant power in the middle of Europe. That's true, they didn't want to, but they were predestined to reach that role, and now they are fulfilling it. It's biblical prophecy, my friends, which is being fulfilled. That's what we got to understand. The Local added on February 2 an interesting article. It said, a Eurosceptic British MEP provoked the German head of the European Parliament, Sherman, to cut off his microphone after comparing Germany's proposed plans for Greece finances to the Nazi occupation of the country. The move by Parliament President Martin Schulz prompted Nigel Farage to storm out of the Brussels chamber on Wednesday. His comment provoked uproar, especially among German MEPs, with Green Party representative Reinhard Bütikofer accusing the UKIP leader of spreading, and I quote, hatred in the European Parliament and hatred between European peoples. As we have read, it will be a short-lived unification because, as Daniel chapter 2 tells us, they really won't hold together. But they will be holding together for a short while in a very military unification. Germany is very much involved in the Middle East. We read in an article by Germany.info, dated January 2, January 23, excuse me, German diplomat Andreas Reinicke, until now German ambassador in Damascus, will become the EU special representative for the Middle East process. He will play a key role in bringing both sides back to the negotiation table. Reinicke is considered one of the most experienced Middle East experts in the German Foreign Office. Germany is also working bilaterally to support a peaceful solution. The German government has had numerous political talks with representatives of the Israeli government and the Palestinian Authority. But the Bible tells us, though, that ultimately those peace talks won't bring about anything. And finally, the Europeans will invade the Middle East. That is clearly prophesied. They will invade the Middle East militarily in order to bring peace. They will take over Jerusalem, something Jesus Christ warned about. He said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you know its destruction has come near. It will be the time of the Great Tribulation. And you all know that the Great Tribulation will be shortened by the return of Jesus Christ. Christ said, if I don't come back to shorten those days, no human being would be saved alive. So what we are seeing here, my friends, is in total line to what we have said. And when I say we want to be part of what Mr. Armstrong had proclaimed, because we are, what we have proclaimed more than, 60, 80, 100 years ago almost. How did we know? How can you know? You see, we read that a good understanding have all those who keep God's commandments. We teach that Christ didn't come back to do away with the commandments. He said, don't believe I came to do away with the law. I didn't come to abolish. I came to fill up the law with its intended meanings. He even said, you break the law when you kill someone, but you already break the law when you hate someone. And he gave other examples. Isaiah said he would come to make the law great and more honorable. The Apostle Paul is being accused and maligned by some, saying that he did away with the law. He didn't do anything of the kind. What did he say? He said, don't think we do away with the law. We uphold the law. He said that in the book of Romans. He said the law is holy and righteous and just and good. He said you fulfill the law when you love your neighbor. Why? Because the Ten Commandments, the last six of them, tell us how to love our neighbor. The first four tell us how to love God. So if you want to understand prophecy, if you want to understand what is going to happen in the near future, keep the commandments. And you have to have the Spirit of Christ living within you. Because it is the Spirit of Christ, as the book of Revelation tells us, which is the Spirit of prophecy. And you know, you don't accept and don't receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, unless you obey God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. And that is why Paul talks about the obedience of the faith. You see, many today are unwilling to keep the law. Many today are telling you Christ came to do away with the law. As a consequence, they cannot understand prophecy. They cannot understand what is going to happen. You see, I have been called a prophet by some. Now, I don't take claim to any of those titles. But I have said things which have come true, and so people recognize that. I've also been called a false prophet by some, especially by those who don't want to keep the law, and therefore cannot understand the Bible. You have to live by every word of God. Now, we are not saying that you will be infallible. We are not saying that you won't sin from time to time, because you will. Every human being sins. But we have to have the right understanding as to what we're supposed to do. And when we sin, we can ask God for forgiveness after we repent of it, and He will forgive us, and the sins will be blotted out. That is the key. That is how you can understand prophecy. I pray, my friends, that you come to this realization that you must obey God in everything. And when you do, and when you maintain a love for the truth, then you will understand biblical prophecy. You will understand what is prophesied. You will understand what is going to happen in a few years from now. And you will be able to stand before the Son of Man when He appears. And as I said, I pray that you will be one of those privileged few who will be able to do that. I thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.